Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to New Life Live. This is a live broadcast on Friday. A lot of times we do the classical shows, we do the best of. Well, we're doing a live show, which is going to be one of the best of one day, because we've got Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams in the studio. Hi, guys.
Hey, it's great to be with you both. I love being on with you, too.
It is great. We make a great team.
Yeah, we do.
I think so. I really do. And I want to talk about, as with you guys, being a great team, I want to talk about suicide.
Yeah.
Because just in the past few days, two really famous people, Kate Spade, and then now today we hear about Anthony Bourdain, who was this chef and adventurer and all of this, committing suicide. And the sad thing about that is whenever somebody commits suicide, then somebody else, they think, maybe I could or should. It kind of sparks the thought in someone else. And the statistics show that since the late 1990s, our suicide rate has gone up over 25% a year. That's a huge.
That's staggering.
Huge. Yeah. Rise. Some there's one statistic that says 30% since 99 from the Centers of Disease Control. More people committing suicide than are killed in traffic accidents. And so, wow. What do we know about this? We know that it's usually sometimes. And maybe in one of these cases, it's an attempt to get at somebody. It's an act of anger and despair combined. We know sometimes it's just try to stop the pain, and there's no other way to do it. Often, it's there's some shameful thing, especially in men. You see that there was some shameful thing about to come out, or it's a financial ruin. Whatever it is, if you're in that place, don't do that. Come, let us help you. Call us. There's so much help available, so much healing. It's not as bad as you feel like it is. Now, let me tell you something. I know a guy had a tape running in his head constantly, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. I said to this guy, you know what? You've got a medication problem. You need to get to a psychiatrist, and you need to get your medication adjusted. He did that. The psychiatrist doubled his dose of what he was on. Guess what? Went away. See, it wasn't a spiritual dilemma. It was his brain needed more medication than it had. Sometimes it's just something that simple that can pull you out of despair. And I know you guys see this all the time.
Yeah, and I would say there is so much pain and suffering that happens inside of us throughout our lives. If we keep that trapped in isolation inside of us, it never goes away. We'll either have to medicate it, which perpetuate, self-medicate, I'll say, and not properly medicate, which perpetuates the problem. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow. We've got to reach out to each other. We've got to start talking about our pain and suffering.
So, you know what's really weird, guys, is I have a pair of Kate Spade earrings. And I love them. They were given to me as a gift. And when I heard the news, crazy enough, that was the first thing that flashed through my head as I thought, oh, my goodness, I A part of her has touched my life.
Yeah.
But somewhere in her world, she believed there was no other way to get out of whatever was going on yeah. that she was struggling with.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000. Join us.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You are a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We are on with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams. You were mentioning those earrings. I was standing in front of a Kate Spade store. I wasn't there, but it was in Los Angeles the day that this happened. And it was business as usual there, and I just felt so sad. But go ahead, Sherry.
I wanted to say one more thing, because I've sat with folks who have attempted suicide. And in talking with them, they say two things generally to me, is I didn't think there was any other way out. It is this delusion of their mind that this is their only way. And the other thing that I often hear is they'll say, well, people would be better without me. Mm-hmm. But I want to say this to y'all. If anybody is thinking about this today, I want you to know that is not true. In fact, there's only one trauma that I work with that people don't get over, and that's suicide. It leaves such a scar in those that are around us. In fact, I can't look at my earrings in the same way, right? Yeah. I will think of her, and then I will attach it to how she decided to take her life. And so I want to just encourage you to please reach out for help, because those, no matter what you're going through, the thing that you could do that would leave the most painful legacy and a permanent one is to take your life.
Yeah.
Don't let that lie guide you into your choice. Let us help you, please.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we've helped a lot of people. There's no reason to take your life today. Don't do it. Don't do it. And just call us and let us help. Let's go to the calls. Let's talk to Deborah, Tupelo, Mississippi. Sirius XM satellite radio is where she listens. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. How could we help you today?
This is a sad conversation that really hits home with my family. My question is, at what age do you tell children that a close family member died by suicide? And then, when do you talk to them about addiction and the genetics of that? Because that was a part of the issue. 4 years ago, my oldest son committed suicide. And a year ago, my youngest son died from a heroin overdose. And I have 10 grandchildren, ages 4 to 15. Some of them know that my oldest son died from suicide, and his addiction was very secret. I mean, he didn't let it be known. My youngest son was active. The children knew about him, crazy uncle, you know, and all that. But some of the children don't know the whole situation, and some do. And it's really hard that when that comes up, you know, what's that conversation going to be like? And the parents, you know, one of my daughters just doesn't want to have the conversation with her children.
Yeah.
So
okay.
When do you do it, and what does that conversation sound like?
So what do you think? Let's start with you, Sherry.
You know, I think moments like this, Deborah, when there is an awareness that comes out, is often a natural opening to talk about the things that happen in people's lives. And so I'm not sure how old are your kids, just so we have an idea. What's the age range you're talking about?
It's my grandchildren. They range from 4 to 15. They're 10 of them.
So grandchildren, meaning that they're your daughter's kids.
I have two daughters, and then I had two sons.
Yeah.
So, you know, my oldest son that committed suicide, he had two children. One of them knows and is still continuing to go through counseling. The youngest one doesn't.
Right. So
the 15-year-old knows.
Right. And I think 15 is really kind of one of those ages where, as an adolescent, mm-hmm. you start noticing things at school come up. Kids find out that other kids commit suicide. It's not something I would have a conversation with a 4-year-old about, because they don't even really understand death at that
yeah.
point. They don't really understand it. But I think once they move into situations where they're asking questions about a kid at school, I would definitely begin to integrate in your story about, I don't know if you know this. This is how it sounds. I don't know if you know this, but your uncle actually decided to take his life, and he was really struggling with some stuff, and he didn't reach out for help. And so there is this shame. We kind of talked about how there's this illusion that if we leave this planet, we're going to leave it a better place. But it's not true. Mm-hmm. Shame wants to cover that up. But I think to have honest stories with our families is important, because it's a part of their history. My grandfather committed suicide when I was in the womb. And so when I think about that now, especially in light of how my mom in utero was holding me, all the fear, all the anxiety, it kind of explains why I was afraid when I came into the world. And so, but those pieces are important. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I think to go on that, Deborah, is they're obviously in a pretty wide range ages of development. And so for each of them, what I would want you to be able to do, and the people around them, is to create the safest place possible for them to ask the most honest questions possible. And so we oftentimes, out of our fear and anxiety and reactivity, we want them to know something that they may not necessarily need to know or ready to know, but the questions are already inside of them, and it may or may not be related. And I would say, the younger the child, the more you want to use metaphor and story. And the older the child, I would say like 13 and above, you want to use more facts. But really the most important thing is that you create a space for them to be able to talk about how they feel. What questions do they have? What are they thinking, and how are they processing this information?
Well,
it's a really good. Go ahead, Sherry.
I was going to say, it's an interesting thing that your daughter, right, has her strong feelings about not talking about it. And I think sometimes people think that suicide, talking about it, makes it contagious. But that's not true.
That's not true at all.
She has a 12-year-old son who, you know, preteen anxiety.
Yep.
And she's afraid if she tells him that he will think that that's a way out.
Well,
she tells him that her uncle did that. His uncle did that.
It's really a false illusion instead of dealing with his anxiety, right?
Go ahead. There's obviously in this family, there are some better ways to help people. You know, you've got to bring in the professionals,
mm-hmm.
or you've got to, you know, so the anxiety that's there, it needs to be treated, and it needs to be treated in the best possible way. But let me tell you, you know, my mom and dad, great people, but my grandfather committed suicide. When did I find out about that? By accident, when I was a senior in high school. My brother thought that I knew. I thought he died of a heart attack, and when I found out as a senior in high school, I felt like I hadn't been part of the family. I felt like I had been so left out, and it was a very traumatic experience for me to find out that late. So at about 11, you need to start asking, is this the time? Because some 11-year-olds, that is a good time. Others, they're not ready yet. But I love what you said, Sherry. You, when things come about in the media, it's a great opportunity to say, okay, this would be a good time to have that conversation. But it's very foolish to let this go and to think that we're not going to tell. When they find out, as I found out, the feeling will be you didn't trust them or you betrayed them. All sorts of different feelings can come up during that time, and you want to be sure you're not making their problem of alienation and pain worse by thinking they can't handle this. So you do need to talk with them, and I felt literally traumatized by not knowing my family history. So maybe this is the right time. I guarantee you her son needs to know this at the right time with the right people. But like you guys said, get the problem treated. You're not going to make it worse by keeping secrets from somebody that's afraid people are keeping secrets from them. It just doesn't work. Okay.
And if I could add just one more thing to that, Deborah, what I want you to also be able to do is, as Steve was mentioning, professional help. I would love for you to find a true family therapist, a person that can work with the family in the room and help the family together process through this and be able to talk again openly with each other with where they're at.
Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. And Steve, can I just share one more thing? You can see how it hits home with us, mm-hmm. you know, because we've got personal stories and situations, but I'm going to share something. So my brother at one point, who I love, was depressed and suicidal. And it happened to be in a season of his life where his oldest daughter was pregnant. Mm. And you know what? I actually talked to him about our grandfather. I said, when mom was pregnant with me, her dad committed suicide. And I said, is that what you want to do? Do you want to leave that same legacy? Because she will never be the same. She'll always have that attached to not meeting her daughter. And so it woke him up. It was like the truth. And so sometimes our history and people that have gone before us that have made choices like that, we can actually talk about what they did mm-hmm. and learn from it and then make different choices. That's when, you know, knowing our history and walking into it helps us heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. I hope it's going to help you, the people around you. I think it will. And anybody else want that book, 1-800-NEW-LIFE? It's part of the Arterburn Wellness Series that include other books on Attention Deficit Disorder, Understanding and Loving a Person with Bipolar, with Borderline Personality Disorder, sexual addiction, alcohol, or drug addiction. Some really, really great, great books. And that's our way of saying thank you for joining Club New Life. And we need 6 people today to sign up for Club New Life. Please do. You could do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, $30 a month, and it keeps us on the air. Now, if you do need some help, and you can't help us, you call that number also, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are people there. We're prepared to handle any situation. We know what to say. We know what to do. Call us and let us help. Let's go to Mark from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi, Mark. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon. Steve, having been through this losing a friend recently to suicide, it's nothing short, of course, of tragic. But my question is, what then, how do you comfort the surviving family members? What words can you say? What can you do to help comfort them and step them through this journey?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And, sometimes you want to give them some assurances or reassurances that they can't make, and that you really can't verify. Like, if the family member committed suicide and they weren't believers, I usually say to them, well, you you don't know what happened in the secret, private moments of that person's life. And then, you know, I do the best I can with trying to help them see the good parts of that person's life, the upsides of their lives, and then also the reality of what this person was going through. And let me just say this. There are people that do not advocate anybody taking any medication. And that's the time to be dealing with suicide, by preventing it, by telling somebody, if you have these thoughts, if you have these ideas about suicide, you need to be medicated, so we're not having to figure out how do we comfort the family. But Mark, hold on. When we get back, I'll have Sherry and Chris address this from their perspective of how do you comfort the family of somebody that has committed suicide. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000. It's a live Friday show. That means everybody's on board, and they want to hear from you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You call it. You don't even know what to say. They'll take it from there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Milan and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, please call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Okay, Mark, let's hear. Let's go with you, Chris. Comforting someone, a family member, who has had someone in the family commit suicide. What do you say?
Yeah,
how can you help?
Mark, I'll start here, and I can hear it in your voice, is that you are a very caring and loving person. And I believe that that is your greatest strength and asset to them. But with that, I want you to have a mantra, and it's presence over proclamation. We want to oftentimes say the right things to people, but what people need more than anything else in these horrific times of tragedy is a strong, loving presence, is a safe person just to be with them. They're most likely going to say a lot of things that aren't true, sometimes that are harmful and damaging, and you're going to immediately want to jump in and say, hey, that's not true, or that's not real, and you should think like this, or you should, you know, be able to say that. I want to kind of put a pause on all of that, and I want you to be able to affirm what they say, but you can also say, hey, I see this very, very differently. And so you want to be a voice of love or a presence of love, a voice of support, and when you see those right moments, a voice of hope as well for them.
And I would add to what you said, Chris, is I see this as a perfect opportunity to become what I call a sacramental carrier, meaning you're helping to carry some of the burden. And so what happens with suicide, oftentimes the ones closest to the one that took their life is left with trauma-induced shame beliefs that sound something like this. I should have done something. Mm-hmm. Or I did something wrong, or I should have known, or I'm not in control, or something along those lines. And so what happens is they go into their own isolation. They feel shame about the suicide, and they pull away. And then guess what happens? The community feels shame about the situation. They don't know how to talk about it, and so they pull away. Do you see the problem? And so it takes tremendous courage to press in. And I want to encourage you. I would say if you could, in your mind, stay connected for the next 18 to 24 months, and if you want to reach out to those that are left, and you know, even if you reach out every 6 to 8 weeks, and, hey, I'm just checking in, how are you? How's your heart? How are you doing? And definitely get her past or them past the suicide day, the anniversary date, because mm-hmm. that's going to be a big day. And so it's staying the course long term and not looking for a quick fix with these folks.
Well, Sherry, piggybacking on what you said of people feeling like they're to blame, sometimes just one little statement that the person may, like, let's say a person commits suicide, and you were angry with them, and you said, you know, I'm so angry with you, you know, that my life would be better without you. And then you think, and that's why they killed themselves. No, it was a lot of things. Now, that's something you never want to say to somebody, but just some one statement, and somebody will take the full brunt of blame and shame over the loss of someone from suicide. And so it's always great if you can ever surface those kinds of things, those feelings of blame. Or, oh, if I had just gone over there, you know, that night. Well, the only way you could have, you know, covered it was to go over there every night to say that you were there. And it's just much more complex than any one statement or any one situation, but helping people explore and express their feelings of responsibility, guilt, shame, that can be a great, great thing. And I'll just send you a copy of Loving and Understanding a Person with Depression, and I hope that will be a blessing to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Our screen is full. So it's kind of senseless to try to get on the program now. But let me just tell you, get some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or get the book. That's something for family members. If anybody's struggling with depression, this is a great, great book that can help them deal with it or help you deal with somebody else who is, you know, maybe thinking about this. All right, I want to go to Lynn. I believe Lynn is on line 4. I don't know where she well, let's see. Let's just go to Lynn. Hey, Lynn. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
My daughter. I'm sorry.
Aww. It's okay. Oh, yeah.
My daughter chose suicide.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She was 19.
Oh, dear. What happened?
And someone just called and asked how to comfort the family, and I have the opposite problem. Is my family has deserted me.
Really?
They won't talk to me.
Oh, my goodness.
And people won't even let me talk about her.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow, Lynn.
Yeah, that happens.
It makes me feel like she didn't exist.
Uh-huh. How did she die? What was going on? What were the circumstances around it?
She was bullied in school, and we had to take her out of school, and she homeschooled herself, which was wonderful because she was really smart and she did really well. But people picked on her, and she had some medical problems, and she just couldn't deal with everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. And it's just such a great message to all folks that listen to us. Great people listen to us, but they do some ungreat things. And if you've shunned somebody because you're so uncomfortable about the death, let this call be an encourager of you to rethink that and be with that person and say, hey, I am so sorry that I kind of deserted you. I just felt so inadequate, or whatever you felt. Sherry, do you have some insight here for Lynn? Anything that you could offer her to help her?
Well, I want to say, first off, I'm so sorry about your loss, and I hear how raw it is. I don't know how long ago it happened, but it is raw. And I'm so sorry about that. I want to care for your heart right here and first off validate you for what didn't happen. Remember with the last caller, I said, people pull away. They all feel shame about what happened. And so people do crazy things like blame and, you know, pull back. And it's a reactive way of dealing with tremendous mm-hmm. hurt and loss. Yeah. And so yeah. I want to validate you and tell you I'm really sorry that a lot of people around you, most people from what it sounds, went to reaction instead of responding with love, because yeah. that's what you need.
That's right.
And then the third thing, you know what, girl? You're going to need to talk about your daughter. You're going to need to talk about your loss around her decision to take her life.
Mm-hmm.
It is so painful, but not talking about it won't let you heal.
Yeah. Did you find a grief group to do that in, by any chance? Have you ever done that?
I tried a couple, and they were just as bad as the general public. I was shocked by that.
Huh.
What did they say? What's a comment that somebody made, just so we know what it sounded like?
Well, I was in a group that had lost a child, and no one had any experience with a suicide. And they're all saying, oh, we know how you feel. We know how you feel. And they had no clue how
yeah.
I felt.
Yeah.
And just other comments that they made. The last meeting, I went to like 3 or 4 meetings. The last meeting, I got up in the middle and walked out because it was so painful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There may be another meeting that wouldn't be that way, you know, and any kind of support group, grief group, recovery group, where you could just deal with this would be so helpful. Or we can try to find a counselor that would help you. Any other suggestions there, Sherry?
Well, I just want to say you're right, Lynn. They don't know how you feel. There's mm-hmm. no comparison to the yeah. loss of the child and the mm-hmm. and the suicide. So you might have to start with an individual counselor right now that will see you 100% of the time. You need someone who's going to acknowledge your hurt, not compare what's going on, but let you kind of let your pain bleed out, because it needs to come out. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts, Chris, as we wrap?
Yeah, don't give up on the group support. There is, for instance, families of suicide and loss support groups out there.
Oh, cool, Chris.
Yeah, you can find that on afsp.org, and that's American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
They get it.
Yeah, and so there are resources out there. If they may not be in your area, there's phone meetings. But it is what we've been saying, Lynn. It is so critical that you don't hold this pain, this loss, this confusion, this agony inside of you. There is support. Keep going after it.
I'm really glad that you called. There's so many lessons to be learned just from your situation. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and one of the great choices that we can make the choice to grieve, and then we can accept reality, and then that choice to embrace our lives and move forward. That's what I want you to get from that book. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want Healing is a Choice, or understanding and loving a person with depression. So many great things are in this Arterburn Wellness Series. And again, along with the video library that we're all working on, over 100 videos already, that's a way of saying thank you, along with the 8-book video library, for joining Club New Life at merely $30 a month. Please join us if possible. I want to go to Gene from Austin, Texas. I believe Gene is on line 7 there. And let's see if I can get Gene to come up here. No, not yet. Right. Gene. Well, let me tell you about what's happening in July, and then we're going to go to Gene. So July and then Gene. But in July 20, 21, 22, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. for our Intimacy in Marriage Conference. We have a guest speaker, a special speaker. She's never spoken at this before. My wife, Misty, will be joining me, Mylon, and Kay, and our amazing therapists that are going to be there. And it will change your marriage. Bad marriages become good marriages. Marriages that are almost over, they survive, and they're glad that they did. And so if you want a little better marriage or a great marriage from a good one, this is the place to be, July the 20th. If you don't feel connected to the person you're married to, this is what this whole conference is about. Intimacy at every level. But you have to call us. You have to sign up and register before we can help you. And to do that, the number 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there. Really excited to have Misty working alongside me there. We just did the blended family conference for Family Life Today, and we're excited to do this conference together also. All right, now we're going to go to Gene, Austin, Texas. You're listening to New Life Live. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How can we help today?
I'm calling in hopes that I might have something to add to your conversation about suicide that might be helpful.
Well, what would you like to add? And I'm glad you called.
my husband, a strong Christian as I am, had a stroke. And because of that stroke, he broke his ankle. And we went in to have that looked at, and in some circumstances, he was sent home to come back and have his ankle set. But they took him off all of his medication, and he had been on an antidepressant because of his stroke. And he was not on it for 3 days, and I did not think about that, nor did he. We were just waiting to get into the orthopedic, and he made a decision that I would be better off when I was not there to take his life, and he did, and that was a tragedy. I came home.
How long ago was that?
This was 14 years ago.
Okay.
And several points. The doctors, the Christian friends, Christian psychiatrists all say at that moment of time when a person does take their life, they are certainly not in their best, obviously, cognitive thinking and emotional state as well. And, in the balance of things, God certainly knows what their life and their values and their beliefs were. And at that moment, they unfortunately made this decision, and he took his life. And so I had very much encouragement from friends who knew Bob and, really realized the situation. Also, people came out of the woodwork just telling me it was amazing how many people have relatives, loved ones, friends that had committed suicide, and they were in, they would share, and they were encouraging. We are certain as to where Bob is, and I'm certain that God is sovereign and that he allowed that to happen. But, of course, I wished, I wished I could dial back and say, Doc, we got to stay on the depression medicine. You know?
Yeah, of course, of course. Well, I appreciate your encouragement to others, and sorry for your loss, too. And it is amazing when a person does this. Folks are left feeling it, experiencing it many, many years later. And it's important that we do everything we can to prevent it, look for it, and help folks. And you can get help right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Vicki is calling us from Dallas, Texas, listens online. Hi, Vicki. You have a question for us today?
Yes, I do.
What's up? What's the question?
My question is that it's been about a year since my husband has been through the process, I guess, of recovering from sex addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was, how do we rebuild trust without me having to feel like I have to control him?
Well, that's a great question, you know, because when a person goes to Every Man's Battle or reads Every Man's Battle, the book, or any kind of program, it helps them to stop whatever they're doing and start recovery. What it doesn't do is produce instant character. It doesn't produce instant, predictable, reliable behavior. So let's start with you, Chris. What do you think?
Again, great, great question. How do I rebuild trust without control? Well, the way you rebuild trust without control is connection. And oftentimes what is happening in marriages, and this is not to put blame or fault on anyone, is that there is profound disconnection. And the addiction does disconnect people. And so building connection can be very scary when you're coming off of an incredible difficulty and trauma as sexual addiction and betrayal. So being able to have, I believe, a game plan or a set of questions to ask each other to be able to have more transparent and honest communication that connects each other. And that is really building the intimacy. And one of the mistakes that we can make is that we assume we know how to be intimate, but we actually need help. That's a bad assumption. We need help on how to connect and how to have these conversations and how to talk to each other.
Sherry, a thought here?
Yeah, you know, I can relate to you, Vicki, because I was where you are at one point in my life, and I actually had some intimacy issues underneath that I had brought into the marriage. But let me say this. When we've been impacted by betrayal, more often than not, we're left with a trauma-induced belief that sounds something like this. I'm not in control. Or I'm helpless. I'm powerless. And when those trauma-induced beliefs are driving our behavior, you know what we do? We control. Because we're freaked out, right? So dealing with that underlying belief in you is part of how you need to heal from what's happened to you. And then the other word I would add is collaboration. Mm. And I'd love to talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the Every Man's Battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. One of the greatest things that you can do is to be able to tell somebody who's suicidal where to call. The only way that we continue to be that place is if you support us. And if you do, a gift of any amount, I'll send you 100 days of prayer. You're not just supporting a radio program, but a ministry that changes lives and a ministry where we are the ones that answer the phone. Sherry, do you want to just finish up here? One other thought on with Vicki
and then we'll go to
difficulty
Pat.
Of trust.
We'll go to Pat
is that
after
who
that.
We're, is that yep. who we're going
That's
to?
That's who we're going
You've
after
chosen that.
That? Yeah.
Okay.
But quick question. So one thing I want to say is I think there's two things a woman or a person is looking for that's been betrayed. They're looking for safety and truth. Those are the pillars of recovery. So when I say collaboration, what I mean is we got to work on this together. You do your part and I do mine. Your part is, the person that's acted out, is you need to create an environment that's safe. You need to work on your sobriety. You need to create an environment where you're telling me the truth and not hiding the lies so that I can actually start trusting you again. And then my part is the wives have got to do the trauma work. We've got to help change those negative beliefs that can keep us embedded and entrenched in patterns of control because we're afraid. And so learning that you can choose whom to trust and how to get through your trauma is really the message that I'm trying to share.
Amen.
Okay. Can we send her my book, Steve? Is it all right?
Yeah,
can I throw her that her way?
Let's do it.
So Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal is
coming
your way.
Your way. And I think it'll be a great help to you there. It's helped a lot of people already. All right, let's go to Pat. And Pat, you're our final caller. I wish I could have gotten to other folks. Since I can't, please let us help you there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you won't hang up, we'll try to get you through. Hey, Pat, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing well. I have
Great.
A new life.
Wonderful.
I'm a survivor of suicide. I was dying. And I'll tell you what I wanted to die. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to die because life was too painful. Mm-hmm. It was just too painful. I couldn't take the pain anymore.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go home to the Lord. I was already a believer. And Satan was really, what a war. And when you talk about a battle, it was a battle.
Yeah.
And I was in the emergency room and I was dying and they said that I was in coma. Of course, hearing is the last thing to go. And I could still hear and my brain was still functioning. I was just so pleased with myself. I was finally getting what I wanted, and everything they were trying wasn't working. And suddenly the lead doctor said, mention a medication that he'd never tried before. And being in the medical field...
Oh.
No.
Oh, it's a cliffhanger.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let's just take what she said, and what she said was that she had attempted suicide.
Yeah.
And somehow they brought her back. And she's glad that they did.
Yeah.
Now, I've read so many different things of people who attempted suicide and, you know, they survived it and they're so grateful that they did. They didn't attempt again. One man was convinced he needed to die. He went to the Golden Gate Bridge. This is a true story. He ended up on the wrong side of the bridge that he wanted to jump off of. He would not run across traffic to the other side because he was afraid he would get hit. by a car, but he was going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And he walked off the bridge and never attempted. And I'm just telling you, whatever you're going through, if you could just hold on, this can get better. It can pass. There's help. It could be medication. It could be a person to come into your life and help you see things from a different direction. And we cannot encourage you more. Not just that you would call us, but if you know somebody that's been struggling, tell them to call. And let us have the opportunity to do what we've been doing for literally 30 years, helping people at the worst times of their lives make it through and find the hope and the help and the healing that God has for them. But you know what? They may never know there is hope. You may be the only one that knows their situation, and also may be the only one that knows there's something else to do to get rid of that pain other than just to destroy your life. I've heard it said that suicide is a very, very selfish act. Well, it's not necessarily intentionally selfish, but it sure does inflict people with pain, just like abuse does, for years and years to come. And I just can't encourage you more to put your hope and trust in the Lord and step out and do something maybe you never thought you'd do, but that is to openly share with somebody, I'm in trouble here. I'm really, really struggling, and I need some help.
Well,
it could make all the difference in the world.
And we need each other. So what I want to say to the listeners out there today, if you're in a good spot, even if you're not in a great spot, but you're not suicidal, pay attention. Just reach out. When you see a social media post that concerns you, when God brings a friend across your mind, it only takes 20 seconds to send them a text, to send them a message. You may need to take it beyond that. Invite them to a coffee. For the rest of us, and I know I'm part of the problem when I get so self-absorbed and I'm not paying attention to the friends and the people around me, that God has equipped us with an amazing amount of solution and love for other people. And so let's use it. Let's get back. Mm-hmm. Let's reconnect and let's reach out to those who are hurting or in a difficult place.
And isn't Amen. It funny you use the word self-absorbed? I thought about that. I thought, you know, when you said selfish act, and I've heard that too, but I really think it's self-absorbed. It's like this woman said, I just want to go home. Yeah. I don't feel there's a way out. I feel trapped. But doing what you said, Chris, just reaching out, turning your eyes out for it. And for them, it's asking for help. For others, it's like, let's remember, if you have a tough time, just call me. Just call me. We'll figure something out. So,
amen. Well, please do. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And as I said, maybe the greatest thing you could ever do in your life is save another life by, you know, somebody's laid it on your heart. They're really struggling. And you just call them right now and say, why don't you call these people? God's laid it on my heart to call you and suggest, give them a call. And we will do everything we possibly can to help. And that number, it's been ringing for 30 years, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's such an honor for us to help people. It's such an honor when somebody decides, okay, I'm going to allow this ministry, New Life, to help them. But we can't do it without you, and we've never done it without you. From the very beginning, New Life has been a result of people helping fund a life-changing, transformational ministry. And if you feel led today, maybe somebody in your family's been impacted by this or not, maybe this is the day that you could come on board with us and help us out. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. When you join Club New Life, you know, we send you the library of books, 8 in the Arterburn Wellness Series, and we send you access to our video library. It's the only way you get access to it. And also a gift of any amount, 100 days of prayer. If you're struggling with intimacy, we have an answer. It's called our Marriage Intimacy Intensive Workshop, July 20th, Washington, D.C., 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's a life-giving number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us no matter what.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.